Well, good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. And again, I agree with Matt. I feel like the Lord has put this service together. Matt did not know what I was preaching on. I didn't know what songs he was picking till Friday. And I feel like that God does have a message for us as a church this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God's blessing upon the message. Father, your word has promised where two or three are gathered, there you will be in their midst. And Father, we hold on to that promise this morning. And Father, just pray that you would be in our midst. That Father, your Holy Spirit would touch hearts and lives. And Father, that your Spirit would cause us to worship you and to adore you and to thank you for being our God and being our Savior. And Father, I just pray that your calling upon our life would be made clear. And Father, that you would move Calvary Baptist Church forward. That Lord, there is just so much potential here. And Father, we just pray that you would just do a work in our church for your name's sake and for your glory. Amen. How many of you have something in your house that is broken? Anybody? Anybody got something in your house that's broken? I've got two sinks in my bathroom. The one on the right doesn't have the stopper, okay? So anything you drop goes right down the drain. That's not good. Then the sink on the left, it's got the stopper in there, but it's sealed shut. It doesn't have that plunger rod. And so anytime you run water, the water just stays in the bowl. And so I have to go to the kitchen and get a butter knife and poke it in there and break that seal, and so the water gradually leaks out. I'm hoping to have Lee come and help me out with those two sinks real soon here. But all of us have things in our house that are broke. Well, then how long does it take before it gets fixed? Well, our garage door opener broke 2 years ago. And for 2 years, we would pull up to the garage, get out of the car, go through the side door, go into the middle of the garage, lift that heavy door, get in the car, drive the car to the garage, get out, pull the garage doors. 2 years. It was broke. Five. I'm not sure it was five. It was. But Chang and Kim Tron went and bought us a garage door opener for our anniversary last year, and then came over and spent the whole day installing it. And they took care of the problem. But all of us have things in our houses that are broke, and it takes a while for them to get repaired. How many of you have something that you would like to do around the house, but you're lacking something? You're lacking funds. You're lacking money, finances. You would like to put a sun porch on the back of your house, or you'd like to put an addition on your house. Or maybe you'd like to finish the basement, but there's something lacking, either time or money. That's what I want to speak to this morning about, things that are broke and things that are lacking. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I want us to read verses 1 through 12 of Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling for which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called into one hope that belongs to your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Then drop down to verse 11. And he gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ. Verse 12, that word to equip the saints for the work of ministry, that word can be translated most times to fix something that is broken or to supply something that is lacking. So, if I understand what he's saying here, he's saying Christ has given gifts to the church, and he's given some men to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to fix what's broken in the lives of God's people, or to supply what's lacking in the lives of God's people. So God's given gifts to people in the church to fix things that are broken. Not your house, but people. To fix people who are broke. To fix marriages that are broke. To mend relationships that need to be mending. So this is what Paul is saying here, is that God has given these gifts to the church because there are people out here who have broken lives. We've got a broken relationship with God that needs to be restored. We've got marriages that are broken. We've got a society that lacks understanding. John MacArthur has written a book just recently entitled Right Thinking in a World Gone Bad. Boy, is that timely. You come along with right thinking and the whole society is backwards, upside down. And so the church, God's people, are called to fix what's broken, to come alongside that which is lacking in homes, in marriages, in relationships between parents and their children. And so Paul says this is what God has called us to fix things that are broken, to mend things that need mending, to come along some areas where there's lacking in people's lives. Now, what is it to be a church? What is it to do church? What are we all supposed to be doing here at Calvary Baptist Church? What is our goal? Why do we do all of this ministry at Calvary Baptist Church? Why is it that at 9 o'clock every Sunday at 9 o'clock, we have Sunday school, teachers who are committed to teaching in various age groups? Why do we do that? Hopefully, it's because as teachers, you realize that people are coming and they're broke. They need to be repaired. They need to be fixed. And you go and you take God's word and you try to repair damage in their lives. They lack something, and so you try to show them what God's word says in those areas where they are lacking, where they lack knowledge and understanding of who God is. That's why we do Sunday school. Why do we get together at 10 o'clock and have coffee and donuts together? Is that just because some of us get up so late we don't have time for breakfast? Or is there a reason that we want a time there where we can get together, have coffee, have donuts, and just ask each other, how you doing? How's your week been? How's the Lord been treating you this week? Isn't that what it's for? Why do we do ministry? And then we come upstairs here to have music and hymns and preaching. Why? Well, because all of us have been in the world all week long, and things get kind of broke down. Our relationship with God is not what it maybe should be. We lack some understanding, some truth about who God is and why we're here. And so we come here to have broken lives restored and mended. Why do we have a Wednesday night teen kid where Wilma teaches the children music and Bill and Jennifer and Carrie take the children and teach them God's word? Why are we doing that? Did you know that when you take your child home from the hospital, they're broke? They need to be fixed. They come into this world broken, and you need to train them and to teach them about God and who He is and to repair the damage that sin has caused. And so we have Teen Kid on Wednesday night to repair damage, to heal lives. And then we come upstairs, and the adults are meeting here on Wednesday night. We're doing a John Piper study, battling unbelief. And for 30 minutes, John Piper teaches us, and then we have a workbook. And this last Wednesday, he taught on anxiety, battling anxiety. And if you weren't here, you missed a blessing. You missed a blessing. Why are we doing all this? Because some of us have some worry and anxiety in our lives, and it needs to be repaired. It needs to be mended. That's why we do that. And why is it on Fridays or during the week, some 10 of us go across the street to Garfield School and read with the children? And some of us are teaching them timetables. And some of you are teaching them how to read a clock and how to count money. Why are we doing that? Is it because we realize that we're in a society that lacks some things? Some lives are being broken down, and we want to come aside the church and say we care about these children? Why do we do vacation Bible school? Why did the women go on a retreat last week? Why do we have campouts? Why do we go up to Dundee Crown and have basketball and volleyball together? Why do we do ministry? We do ministry because Paul tells us that Jesus Christ has given gifts to the church, and he's called some men to be pastors and teachers to fix things that are broken in the lives of God's people so that they in turn can minister to others. Now, that's point number one. Take all that and just set it on the side. Okay? Now, point number two. Go to 2 Timothy 1. Now, you notice how smoothly I transitioned there. It takes a lot of training to be able to do that. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, that's where I want to be. 2 Timothy. Let's look at verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, and as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day, as I remember your tears and I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwells first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure that dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Paul's writing here to Timothy. Could be Paul's last letter before he's executed. And he's writing to Timothy, his son in the faith. And he says, Tim, I want you to kindle afresh that gift of God that's in you. I want you to make the flames come back again. It's this picture of a campfire that is going out. And Timothy, I want you to take that gift and I want you to fan it so it becomes a flame again. Take the gift God's given you. Fan it and make it a flame again, Timothy. Why? Why is it important? Because Paul says in chapter 4 that we're in a fight. And Timothy, I want you to know I have fought a good fight and the time of my departure has come. Timothy, we're in a battle. We're in a war here, and you need to take your gifts and use them. And Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and his holy angels, preach the word. Take the gift of God and preach the word, Timothy, because we're in a battle. We're in a war. That's point number two about spiritual gifts. Here's point number three. A picture here. Got me a picture. You have to forgive me. I'm going to use my family for an illustration this morning. It's a picture of my family. When you look at that picture, what do you see? You see a family. One family. 10 individuals, but one family. There is a unity there. 10 individuals, Scott, Paula, Laura, Amy, Melinda, Daniel, John, and James, Rung, and Leo. 10 of us. 10 individuals, but there's only one family. There's a unit there. Okay? There's a unit. But also, you see diversity in that family. You see 10 individuals. We don't look the same. We're all different. Some are male, some are female. Some are young, some are old. Some of them appear to be asleep, but they're not. That's the Chinese eyes. That's the Chinese eyes. You've got 10 individuals. They're all different, not just on the outside, but on the inside. They have different personalities, different strengths, different interests, different talents. Some of them are extroverts. They're outgoing. They're warm. They're friendly. They love to be around people. Some of them are more introverts, more quiet, reserved, shy. But they all have different gifts and different personalities and different talents, different strengths, different weaknesses. Some of them like to play volleyball. Some play tennis. Some play soccer. Some play baseball and basketball. Some are involved in the band and play musical instruments. But they've all got different gifts and talents. At Christmas time, Amy asked that we would get her a book and some yarn, and she wanted to learn how to crochet. And so we did. We got her a book, and she's been crocheting. She's been making blankets and pot holders and made this purple octopus with 8 legs. And then she taught Laura to crochet, and she taught James to crochet. But the other 3 really weren't interested. But there's a difference in the way Amy crochets and Laura crochets. Amy is very relaxed and just enjoys crocheting. Laura, it's a job. It's if I do 3 rows a day and I do it in 20 minutes, I'll be done in about 2 weeks. And she just wants to make 1 blanket and be done. There's difference in the way God has made our children. Some of them, school comes very easy. For some of them, they struggle in school. They've inherited that from their dad, a little bit slower. School's a little bit more difficult. 3 out of 6 have gone to speech therapy. I have trouble speaking. There's certain words I can't pronounce. I have a tendency to stutter sometimes. My wife, English is a second language. There's certain sounds she cannot make in the English language. And she would go to the school and meet with the speech therapist, and she said, I was too afraid even to talk. I just say, yes. No, yes, because she said, I didn't want to say anything. The therapist would say, that's where they get it. That's where they get it. But they've got different strengths and different weaknesses. They've got different roles to play in the family. The girls need to do more things around the house and help mom with cooking and laundry and cleaning. And the guys are supposed to help out with cutting the grass and taking the garbage out. They've got different roles in the family. Now, who planned all of this? Who put this boy from West Chicago together with this girl who was born in a village in Cambodia along the Mekong River? Who put us together? What would be the odds of this guy from West Chicago marrying this girl from a village along the Mekong River in Cambodia? What's the odds if you play in the lottery that we're going to meet and get married? Pretty slim. God causes a war to happen in Cambodia. She flees, avoids all the landmines, lands safely in the refugee camp, gets sponsored by her brother in Carpentersville, comes to church at Calvary Baptist Church. I meet her, I marry her. And then who planned that we'd have 6 kids? Was that our doing? Not really. Not totally. God planned that. And he made all 6 of her children. 3 girls, 3 boys. And then, how did we meet Rung and Leop and Rit? Well, we were in Cambodia in 92, and we were there for 2 weeks, and almost every night we spent dinner at their mom and dad's house, got to know them, just a wonderful family. They were Buddhist, but just very friendly. We just really hit it off with them, had a wonderful relationship talking with them about America and Cambodia and Christianity and Buddhism, and had just a good visit with their mom and dad. And that was in 92. We came home and got a phone call in 1995 that Jamal was shot and killed, the boy's mom. You see, there's no security in Cambodia when we were there, and their mom and dad run a jewelry store at the central market, and so you would have to take all of your gold, all of your jewelry, and drive down to the central market, open up your little shop, and sell all your gold and silver that day, then pack it up and get on your motorcycle or car, make sure nobody's around, drive home, unlock the gates, close the gates, lock them, go in your house and hide, and do that every day. No security. One morning, she just went to the market a little bit too early. It was still dark. Somebody needed to borrow the car. Somebody was waiting for her, shot her and killed her, took her gold. Their dad remarries, goes to California, and things are not working out. And so the boys came to Elgin just to visit because there's family here. And at that time, I was just finishing a fourth bedroom downstairs so that Laura could move down there and have a little bit more room. And I heard the story of these three boys, and they wanted to stay. They wanted to stay. They didn't want to go back to California. And so my wife and I talked about it and prayed about it. And their dad called Paula the next day, and I came home from work, and she said, "Well, we got the three boys." I said, "All right, I guess that's God's plan." And so we took the three boys in, and they've come to live with us. One's married, moved out. Rung's in Minnesota this weekend, celebrating the Chinese New Year's, and Lip's in the nursery. Who planned all of this? Who? God did. God planned our family. He gave us our children, the gifts and the talents that are ours. And this really is a picture of the church. Paul tells us that in Ephesians 3. He says, if you are a Christian, that if you have been born of the Spirit of God, you were once spiritually dead and God has made you alive into Christ, and now you worship and adore Christ, he says, you're no longer aliens or strangers, but you're now a part of God's household. You're God's family. God has only one family. Those are the ones that have been bought by the blood of Christ. That's his family. But he knows that there's a bunch of orphans out there that need a home. People whose lives are broken that need fixing. And he sends out his church to invite these people in so their lives can be repaired and restored. Or you could interpret it this way. Christ has given gifts to the church because all of us need help. All of us need our lives mended and fixed. And when that happens, when we start coming here and minister to one another and find our lives healed and our brokenness restored, visitors come in here and say, "I like what's going on in that church. People are getting fixed in that church. Their lives are being restored. God's doing something special there. There's mending and there's healing, and our relationship with God is being restored, and our relationship with one another is being restored. Our marriages are being restored. Our relationship with our children are being restored." That's what Paul's talking about. That's why we're here as a church. Last week, I met with the Vision Committee, and they asked me to do this follow-up message on spiritual gifts. All of you have filled out, hopefully, the spiritual gifts evaluation, and you were able to look at it and to see where your strengths were and where your weaknesses were, and hopefully it was helpful to you. Many of you have expressed that it was very helpful to you, and what we want to do is for us as a church to look at our gifts and find out where we can plug in our church, where we can start helping each other, where we can start mending lives with each other. What's time? I'm about out of time here. Let me just go over quickly just the 6 points that we've covered on spiritual gifts, just real quickly. Point number one, every Christian has received a gift from God, and we're responsible to use it for the good of the church. Take this to heart. Every one of us has been given a gift by God, and we're responsible to use it in the church. I almost wanted to do a Philip Kramer here and come here this morning with this big bag full of little presents and hand them out to all of you, and you would open them up, and inside it might say hospitality or teaching or faith. I thought that'd be a good illustration, but we don't have time for that. But that really is the idea, that each one of you have been given a gift by God to use to strengthen the body of Christ. So gifts are not just for pastors, but for everybody. Point number two that we looked at, there's a variety of gifts. We're all different. Just like my family and my children, God's made us all differently, with different strengths and different weaknesses. There is a variety inside the church. It is God who decides what gifts that we are to receive. You don't choose your own spiritual gift. God gives it to you. And it's for the common good. He's given spiritual gifts to all of us to strengthen one another, because all of us need help. All of us have things in our lives that are broken that need fixing. And so that's why God's given gifts. And I'm going to ask Connie to come at this time, and she's going to just talk about some of the needs that we have here at Calvary. Okay, Connie?
As Scott was saying, that we are a family and we have a lot of gifts here in our church. We have done the spiritual gift thing. You have received that, and some have done other ones. But what I want to emphasize, what we want to emphasize, the strengths of our church, I think we all know. We are a very loving church. We are a very giving church. Very surprised that we are an administrative church. There's a lot of administrators here in this church, like leaders. And that was encouraging to see. So we know we have those gifts. Our weaknesses are teachers, you know, subs for the teaching classes, Wednesday nights for the kids groups, teachers there, vocation Bible schools coming up, teachers there. I mean, that is a need in our church, and again, that's something that we have to look at. Another need is evangelism. I think we know that too, of getting out in our community. And I think we've done a good job as far as going across the street, working at Garfield, and using that ability there, okay? But again, it's getting out, reaching out to people in our community. And, you know, we've come up with some ideas. And we are open. I mean, Scott and I have talked. Whatever you want to do, let's do it. You know, let's try it. A block party. If you want to organize a block party, come see us. Let's do it. And just all we have to do have is volunteers to say, sure, I'll help. And again, like Scott said, we are a family here. And our arms are open wide, our ideas are open to anything that people have. You know, Matt will be leaving soon, or hope not soon, you know, whenever him and Lucy find a house or sell their house, whatever. Music, we're going to need somebody helping in music and teaching in that area. So again, we do have some needs in our church, and I really encourage you as a congregation to look at your needs. See what your gift is. See what the gift that God has given you, and use it. Use it for each one of us, because again, we have gifts. So look at that, investigate, pray about it. Pray a lot about it. Pray where the Lord wants to direct you. And you're not too young and you're not too old, in my opinion, okay? Because and if you don't know your gift, talk to one of your close friends. See maybe somebody, people can help you find out what your gifts are. But again, we need to pray about this in our church. And like I said, Scott and I are wide open as far as, if you want to do something here, let's do it. Let's go for it, okay? If you want to go into the community, let's do it. Again, does it take time? Yes, it does. But I think the Lord is opening doors here for our church. So again, please take some time and pray and find out what your spiritual gift is, and let's use them, okay? Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Connie. Did y'all meet Lori this morning? Laura and her son Adam. She came walking in the door and she said, I don't know what time this church starts. There's a sign out there, but there's nothing on it. And I said, we need you, Lori. Come on in. we're pleased to have you with us, Lori, and your son Adam. But there's a lot going on here at Calvary, and we're trying to get a sign out there and a sign in the back. And we're just trying to open the doors and say, you know, I think God has placed us here for a reason. And let's use our gifts and talents for God and for His glory here at Calvary Baptist Church. I want us to just have time right now. Let's just bow our head and let's pray. And just ask God to maybe speak to us individually, and then Matt will bring the closing hymn. Our Father and our God, Father, I ask that you would reveal to each and every one of us the gifts and the talents that you've given to us. And Lord, impress upon our hearts how we might use these gifts to mend broken lives and to help people. And Father, I just pray that we would not be fearful, but that we would kindle afresh that gift of God that's in us, because we are in a battle and we are in a war. And Father, I just pray for Calvary Baptist Church that, Father, you just give us a freedom and a joy to serve you. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for the families that are here that are working so hard and pulling so many loads. Father, strengthen them. Lord, let us know that our labor is not in vain, that, Father, you've promised to bless and you're willing to bless. And, Father, I just pray for your Spirit to move and work in our hearts and our lives. We ask all of this in Jesus' name.